Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
Good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us on Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. I am your host, Tamara Lee, founder of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communication platforms from radio, video, blogging, content, blogging, website design and mobile optimization, social media, writing, editing, speaking and image consulting and communications through style. You can find me at Tamara Lee LLC, TamaraLeeGhLLC.com. And today we have a great show coming up. It's a tougher topic. Usually here on Trend On, we keep things kind of light and trending and fun, but not that it won't be a fun show, so don't leave us yet. But it's just a tougher issue to tackle. A lot of times here in the United States, we think of it as a third world problem and not our first world issue, but it really is. And this month is National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And so I thought in trending with that, it's a cause I care about. I follow Thorne and some of the different things, and it's one of those that just strikes a chord with my heart and caring about and what we can do, and there's a lot going on. And so I thought to trend on that important cause this month, we have a guest, Jerome Elam, who is a national speaker and talks on the subject of human trafficking and child sex trade trafficking. And so we are going to hear his story, and not just that, but also what is going on, what you can do, how to watch for signs when you think a child might be in danger of being sex trafficked. And they're all around us. It's not a third world problem. There's in the United States alone, it says domestic minor sex trafficking, or DMST, is a commercial sexual exploitation of children within U.S. borders, and it's defined as the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for the purpose of a commercial sex act in which the person in the U.S. Is under the age of 18, and that's from the National Report on Domestic Minor Sex Trafficking. And it's a problem. The issue, the NCMEC, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, reviewed just 17.3 million images and videos of suspected child pornography in 2011, nearly 4,000 more than in 2007. And the average age of entry into the sex trade in America is 12 to 14 years old. And so those are just a few of the statistics that we're looking at in terms of this problem right here in the U.S. And, of course, with the explosion of the Internet and social media, there's always the flip side, the dark side to all of those positive technologies that improve our lives in so many ways can also then be vulnerable to victimization for these children. And so there are efforts. There's a lot being done out there to stop this, to try and address it, both in preventing the sex trafficking of kids and, I think, a positive thing, too, of what they call deterrence and information to those who are the consumers of that and trying to prevent it at its source, at its cause. So that's enough for me for right now. So we will get to our guest in a minute. Before that, Heidi, do you have a shout-out to our sponsors?
I do. We'd like to thank Mediavine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. Mediavine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, a professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born.
Thank you, Heidi. And I should also say Tamara Lee's Trend On is one of the shows in the Link Local Network. Link Local Network, or LLN, is a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses and accomplish their goals with a strong local, national, and international following. You can link local, connect global at linklocalnetwork.com. And you can find today's show link as well as past Tamerlee's Trend On shows and blog posts on my website, TamerleeLLC.com, as well as on the linked localnetwork.com website for the radio shows, Tamerlee's Trend On. And I want to thank my co-host and producer there, Heidi Feimster. Heidi, did you watch the game before we get into it?
I listened to it on the radio.
We're talking about those Packers, which, oh my gosh, what a game. It just thought we had our Super Bowl hopes, and then in how big 4 minutes
like 53 seconds, they blew it, yeah.
No kidding. But, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, so I'm actually working on maybe a little blog post about that, too, of just my two cents, my observation of what happened in the game and, you know, all the analysts Monday, of course, talking what happened. But all we know is we had a great season with our Packers. Still love them and look forward to next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll, over the summer, go, what can we learn from that? So now I don't care about the Super Bowl, so it just frees up my social media feeds.
Oh,
get rid of all
true.
So anyway, as we get into our show today, I want to welcome our guest, Jerome. Are you there?
Great. Yes, thank you so much, Tamara and Heidi, for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. So as we get into our talking points about the issue today, why don't you first give our listeners a little bit of a background of you and how we connected? And
well, you know, I began speaking out a few years ago, and it took me over 40 years to talk about my experience of being trafficked sexually as a child. I was trafficked for 7 years by my mother's second husband. My mother, unfortunately, was an alcoholic, and this was oblivious through her alcoholism as to what was going on with me. But you know, I've been really trying to let victims and survivors of sex trafficking know it's okay to speak out. And that the fear and shame that you're infected with as a victim and a survivor of sex trafficking, you can overcome that. There's a light inside all of us. There's hope inside all of us. We can get in touch with that hope and that light and turn it into a flame and a passion to change, you know, to change what's happening for victims of sex trafficking and bring people out of the darkness into the light.
And so with you, how old were you when it started?
I was five. It started when I was 5 years old and until I was 12 years old.
That just seems horrific. But I'm not surprised by that, although we should be. But so what is the current situation of human sex trafficking in the U.S. and then kind of globally? Can you give us a sort of big picture? I know I threw out some statistics there, but
yes, Tamara. The State Department, the U.S. State Department, estimates there are 27 million victims of human trafficking in the world, and the UN estimates that there are 2 million children in the commercial sex trade in the world today. Human trafficking worldwide is a $32 billion. That's $1 billion a year industry. In the United States, it's a $9.5 billion industry. And the State Department also estimates, or the Justice Department estimates, that between 100,000 to 300,000 children in the United States are at risk of being trafficked right now.
And what puts a child at higher risk?
Well, there are a lot of factors that put a child at higher risk. A child that comes from a dysfunctional family, like I did, and what really these traffickers prey upon and what they target are children who are starved for affection, who are just from dysfunctional environments where they don't have a really good home life. And so what the traffickers do is that they prey upon that need for love and affection, and they really convince you that they actually have this twisted form of love for you, and they manipulate you using those feelings and those emotions. And then once they kind of groom you, which is what a lot of pedophiles do and traffickers, once they groom you, they trap you with threats of fear and violence.
So it's kind of the bait and switch strategy.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. You know, what we see happening a lot is that, you know, that they'll, you know, approach young women and you know, for like modeling opportunities or for singing opportunities. and compliment them, buy them things, and isolate them from their families or whatever family they do have. And then once they have them isolated, they have them trapped and through violence like beatings and forcing them to take drugs. I mean, I was forced to take drugs, as a five-year-old, and forcing them to take drugs and really just trapping them. It's a mental prison of fear and of making you feel worthless. And that the only value you have is a sex object. So you get trapped in a situation and you can't get out.
Well, and I would think for a lot of kids and young adults, teens, and we usually think of it maybe as the girls that they're vulnerable and mistaking or confusing attention for love, and then they get trapped in. But would you assert that that's not any different for young men either?
Not at all. I think it's the exact same thing for young men because young men are starved for affection as well. I mean, I always talk about, if you see the movie The Blind Side, where this young man, even though his mother was smoking crack and really just self-destructive, he still wanted that. Wanted that maternal bond. He still wanted that affection, and so people prey upon that desperate need for affection, both in males and females. And like I say, this is no longer a gender, socioeconomic, ethnic or race problem. It's a human problem, and we're finding now for a lot of reasons that boys are being trafficked at much higher levels than people ever expected.
Yeah, well, I have always been cognizant. I had my kids. I remember one time specifically, I was at the mall with my little toddler, and she was kind of all dolled up. She was kind of the dancing queen, and so we went out, and they're a mix, so they have sort of an exotic look to them. And I can just remember feeling like this strong, like almost, I said the Holy Spirit was telling me of, like, be careful, there's danger present. And sure enough, I turned the corner and there was this man who had his sights on her. I swear by that. And I think, this dysfunction of a family, if I had not been alerted to that, I wouldn't have paid attention. I wouldn't have known about that. And she could have been gone just that quick. And then I also have one son, and because of their, I'm always worried about him as much as I did any of the girls. I didn't think, I have to watch out for my girls. I was equally aware that there was that appeal or that vulnerability. And so I don't think parents, especially mothers of boys, I don't think we think enough about that.
Yeah, and what I like to say is that what separates us from being a victim of human trafficking, or what separates people who are not survivors of victims, is 3 minutes. The story about a young girl in middle school who got a call from one of the people that she knew casually asking her for the homework that she had missed that day. The girl said, yes, sure, come by and pick it up. The girl, walks out of her parents' house at 7 o'clock at night. As the car pulls up in the driveway, the girl she casually knew gets out of the car. Two other guys get out behind her, grab the girl that was at home with her parents, threw her into the car, and she's gone. She's in human trafficking. She's just disappeared because, it's like the Bermuda Triangle of humanity because these people just disappear. So we're all vulnerable. There are factors that do make you vulnerable, but, every parent should be aware of the signs of human trafficking, because if it's not your child, it could be another child that you see at risk, and you can report that, and you could save a child's life.
And you were going to school during the whole years, and maybe you can tell us more about your story now a little bit, the big picture of it, because it's
sure.
Quite an unbelievable story, really.
Sure. I mean, like many, I was in school, and I appeared to have a normal life, but I was, a shell of a human being. I would be pulled out of school to be trafficked, and during holidays, weekends, I would be trafficked because, they didn't want to bring attention, and this happens more frequently than people realize. I was on Al Jazeera about 3 months ago with one of the FBI agents involved in human trafficking. He was saying that, you know, that a lot of the kids that they rescued in Operation Cross Country were being trafficked by their families. And so this happens a lot more than you would think. And it's just that children are suffering, and the signs are there. We just have to train our teachers, our parents, any responsible adult that comes in contact with a child to recognize the signs of a child that's being trafficked or abused so they can report it. Because you know what? It's better to report something and be wrong than not to report it and be right.
Right. And I feel like, do you feel like, because I was in education for 10 years and fortunately in a pretty nice school district area, but still it was like, I don't think teachers are aware. They just think, oh, that's a bad kid. They've got a, you know, messy home life. And it's like they're second-class citizens already rather than thinking, really, what's going on? Maybe there's something at issue with that student
yeah.
at home. And look
exactly.
a little deeper than that. It's just a bad kid or something.
Exactly. You know, it's all about the training to recognize the signs. Because once you're tuned in to the signs of a child being trafficked or abused, it becomes a lot easier. I mean, it can be difficult because, you know, a child a child wants to tell, but statistically, in the United States, a child has to tell an average of 7 adults they're being abused or trafficked before they're believed, and that's a U.S. statistic. And so that's something that just is unacceptable, and we have to really, you know, work very hard to educate and bring about education and awareness to both parents and teachers so they can recognize these signs. I mean, you know, our teachers are overwhelmed anyway because, you know, they're underpaid and they have, you know, a lot on their plates and the budget keeps getting cut. But I think that we need to really help support them because, unfortunately, as you know, a lot of kids are basically parented through the school system because a lot of kids, you know, they have a single parent or the parents aren't really engaged in their life. And so we've got to teach children, number one, and this is something that's really key in trafficking, you know, what love really is. I mean, what it means to be loved and what healthy love is. And one of the things that really, you know, I talk about that saved my life, I like to say, and is really a key factor in trafficking and abuse, is one person in my life showed me unconditional love. And so that unconditional love gave me enough of a tether to my self-esteem that I was able to survive the horrific things I went through. So these kids coming out for being trafficked and abused, one of the things that's key is that you have to teach them that they are loved unconditionally and they are worthy of love, because a lot of them feel like they're worthless, and that's just one of the tools that traffickers use to manipulate kids and young adults.
Well, and so what does that unconditional love look like to you?
Oh, it looks like it doesn't matter what's happened to you or what you've done in your life, I still love you, and you are worthy of love, and you are worthy of a good, happy life. And so you have to let children know that, you know, this wasn't their fault, because one of the things that you see that I had to overcome was is you internalize the blame. You blame yourself because you think it's your fault, because, you know, what the traffickers and pedophiles will tell you, oh, it's your fault. You know, pedophiles will say, a five-year-old, came on to me sexually, which is a bunch of bunk, as we know. And so you're basically, you know, blamed for the whole situation, and it's your fault. Like, you know, you don't deserve any better than this. It's your fault. You know, you're a bad child. You're unworthy of love. So we have to tell these kids that you know, they are beautiful. They are worthy of love. They are, you know, important to a lot of people. And so we have to really, you know, keep working, because it takes a long time to overcome the effects of a dysfunctional family and being trafficked. So we have to really create a program to help these kids, you know, build their self-esteem and counseling to help them accept love and most of all, to love themselves. That's just the key, to help them, to teach them to love themselves And if you can teach someone to love themselves, then you can, that is a solid foundation that you could build on forever.
And so with yours, to get yourself out of it, I was reading in your biography, quite a drastic to try and get yourself out of it or to end your being in it. Can you share that with us?
Both. You know, Tamara, both. Because what it was is, you know, during the 7 years I was trafficked, I tried to tell 10 people. The first time I tried to tell a doctor when I was being checked out, later on, I came back to that same doctor with 3 broken ribs at 8 years old because one of the people that were trafficking me overheard me telling, so 3 of my ribs were broken. You know, I had my nose broken, you know, 4 or 5 times. I had my favorite pet killed in front of me to teach me a lesson. So I was, you know, I kept trying to talk, but this wasn't the awareness, the education there. And so at the age of 12, I was filled with desperation, and I felt like, you know, there was nothing I could do. So I took a bottle of sleeping pills from my mother's medicine cabinet and a bottle of vodka and went into my mother's rose garden and, you know, took the bottle, dumped it in my mouth, washed it down with the vodka, and, you know, woke up in the emergency room. You know, I had been gone for about 3 minutes. And, you know, it took that drastic step for people to really, you know, the red flags to go up. People will say, well, something's going on with this kid. Let's check into it. So at that point, you know, I was deemed a risk by the pedophile ring that was trafficking me. And so they kind of stepped away from me. So I was able to more or less escape. But, you know, I really didn't get out of the situation until I turned 17. And the day after I turned 17, I joined the United States Marine Corps and shipped out. And so, you know, I thank God and I thank the United States Marine Corps for saving my life because they really gave me, you know, a new start, gave me a sense of pride and acceptance. So those were the factors that went into me escaping. But I think one of the things I like to tell people is that what really drives me, Tamara and Heidi, what haunts me are the faces of the kids who didn't make it. Because according to the FBI, the average life expectancy of a child being trafficked sexually is 7 years. The drugs and alcohol and just the lifestyle, the physical abuse are just too hard, and children just don't survive this. It's just unbelievable, and that's why I work so hard every day to try and save as many as possible.
So the survivor rate is much less than the fall to the victimization. Either they die. Is that usually the
absolutely, outcome? Absolutely. It's abysmal. The survival rate is abysmal, and people usually don't, especially child sex trafficking globally and domestically. Kids don't make it out because you know you're forced to take drugs. You know, and like I speak about when I write, I mean the kind of people that you know that were using my services, that were using the services of the pedophile ring. I mean, they were there were no depths to the limits of depravity that they exhibited. I mean, they were just really, I tell people, I said, you know, we're taught about evil, but until you look into the eyes of evil, you really never understand just how horrific it can be. And so these people I was choked to unconsciousness quite frequently, beaten, other really horrific things that are done. And so, you know, you cease to be a human being in the eyes of these individuals. You're just an object for them to use and throw away when they're done with you. So these kids, are just suffering, every day under the yoke of human trafficking. And that's why it's so critical, you know, we raise awareness and help rescue as many as possible.
Well, and that brings me to the next question I wanted to ask you about, because what were there consequences then for your stepfather or any of those that were involved in yours?
Yes, there was. I mean, I was finally able to get some justice. It took me a while because, like I write about, I mean, this particular pedophile ring, like in many human trafficking organizations, became quite expansive. So I was able to get, law enforcement involved in it. And get justice, but you know, it's still, like I said, I mean, you know, just the people that that were unable to survive this are what really, you know, breaks my heart and what wakes me up in the middle of the night with nightmares thinking about these people and their faces. So, but yeah, and so, you know, that's one of the things. Now law enforcement is really has really gotten a lot better about partnering with non-governmental organizations like Thorn, Polaris Project, and others to help, you know, go and get these people out of human trafficking, because you can't just walk up to someone being trafficked and say, I'm here to help you, you know, come with me, I'll get you out of this, because it's a process, because these people are so brainwashed that the traffickers have told them that if they talk to the police are going to put them in jail. You know, if they talk to anybody like from, you know, an organization, they're going to track them down and either kill them or hurt their family members. Mm-hmm. So it's a real process that you have to really have skilled people. And I thank God for, you know, these individuals that are working with law enforcement and helping them, you know, get these victims out of human trafficking and give them their lives back.
And part of yours, you know, is that you were able to find healing, find help. Where do we find that balance then of, because I read about this, I thought it was a compelling article and really an exception to how we address this problem with the pedophile. And it was about a young man who, as a teenager, had been exposed to pornography, felt himself getting more and more involved, immersed in that ugly world. And he went to his mother, and they found a therapist who would help him establish a safe website or platform for boys or men struggling with pedophilia, but who did not want to act on it. And I thought, wow, that was really one of the first times you hear about looking at prevention at its source. And, you know, that's one of the messages of Thorn is, you know, trying to address the Johns and make them more accountable and the consumers and get to that point. So how do we balance that and the accountability in the prosecution and yet still have maybe, and most people would say they don't deserve our compassion, they don't deserve rehabilitation, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I have a friend who actually, her organization, you know, does that kind of outreach where they encourage, you know, sex offenders to call in or contact them if they have, you know, the urge or the compulsion to act on, you know, molestation or a sexual assault. And she's had really good success with that. So I think there's, you know, that's one avenue. I mean, we're still kind of exploring, what's behind, you know, pedophilia and people who molest it. And we're making a lot of headway in terms of, you know, the biology and the neurology of it, looking at, you know, centers of the brain that that cause that attraction to children, because, you know, it's something that really, you know, that really isn't really a natural process. And so there's an affect there that occurs in people's brains that really drives that compulsion of that attraction. You know, I'm really for, you know, doing whatever it takes to protect our children. And so if we can help people, stop that urge or just avert committing that crime, I'm all for it, and I'm totally behind it, you know, and I really think that, you know, we have to, you know, really, you know, use it, you know, be creative in the ways we approach this, because, you know, there's nothing more important than protecting our children, and so whatever it takes, you know, I think we should absolutely do.
Well, and that's one of the exciting things going on about, you know, with the Polaris Project and the short codes of, which is Be Free, I think it's right, hashtag Be Free.
Yes, yes.
Like, if someone's in danger, because it's surprisingly a lot of the kids now who are entrapped actually do have occasions where they can get to a cell phone or they can get to a computer, but they can't, so that the texting allows them to have a private conversation without having to be on the phone and talk to someone So I know they're using technology to combat the sex trafficking, particularly on the web, which is a lot of the way you were probably old school, but now that's how it's set up now. It's just such a business. So, and what can people do to make a difference and get involved?
Well, you know, one of the first things that people can do, Tamara, is they can learn the signs of human trafficking. And if you go to my blog, which is endtosilence2011blogspot.com, I always put the sign, how to identify a human trafficking victim, in every post I make. I also have a link to the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign, which is a really great program that actually has a free webinar on how to recognize the signs of human trafficking. So it's important to learn the signs and memorize the number for the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which is 1-888-3737-888. And so you can always call that 24/7 to report suspected human trafficking. The next step after that is to volunteer with an anti-human trafficking organization like Polaris, Thorn, one of these other organizations, and devote some time to that. And that can really help a great deal. And then the next step would be write about it, which is what I love to do, and talk about it. So you can blog about it, you can write about it, you can organize, community gatherings and teach, a large group of people how to recognize human trafficking. You could even start your own organization if you're so inclined. So there's lots of different levels that we can pursue. What I like to say, Hadi and Tamara, is that if we can spend an hour learning CPR to save one child's life, we can spend an hour educating ourselves about human trafficking to save the life of 10 or more children. So there's always something we can do, and it's all different levels of time commitments that we can engage in. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that information. And can you give that number again one more time? And then
sure.
Your website.
The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-3737-888. And then my blog is An End to Silence, 2011.blogspot.com. So if you just probably Google An End to Silence, my blog probably should come up. And so I have that. I have all my articles from Communities Digital News, the Washington Times Communities, and all my op-eds and stuff on there as well. And so there's a lot of good information, and I like to put out there for people so they can help educate themselves and just save a child's life.
And then do you do speaking, too, if someone wanted it?
I do. Actually, I'm recovering from jet lag, as you can imagine. I was in Las Vegas last week speaking to the National Polygraph Association, helping them learn how to keep these sexual predators off the streets when they administer these polygraph exams to these sexual predators, when they're, up for parole or release or whatever. I actually was there speaking, helping to educate them on how to, recognize the subtleties and the signs that these people are going to go out and reoffend again. So I was speaking last week, in Las Vegas, which I really was thankful for the opportunity. So I speak around the country. I'm going to be in Denver in September. I'm going to be, in Tampa next week speaking at Southeastern College in Lakeland. And I'm speaking in Tampa again later that month. So I speak, wherever people ask me to, because I just, the more I can speak about this and raise awareness, and you know what, I will tell you something for my own benefit. What really has helped me is, with every word I type and every word I speak, I'm healing from this process, because every time I write or speak, I take my life back. And it really has given me so much peace in my life to be able to do this and say, I am not afraid. I will speak out until my last breath to save children, and I will no longer live my life in fear.
Yeah, well, that is a wonderful way to end, and we could talk more.
Yes.
hardly, you know, cover anything. And part of it is our society is so schizophrenic of, you know, all the media and all the sexual sales. And it's almost sexy now if you're pimping things. And we really have to sort through that schizophrenic message and look at, this is kids, and this is real life, and this is real human tragedy. So thank you for sharing your message with us, and hopefully we will bring a little bit of awareness, and maybe, as you said before, I think that was, we were off air when you said every time you speak, at least one person reaches out to you.
Yes,
so
exactly,
And I must have dismissed
thank you.
I just was in Vegas yesterday, so we're on opposite paths and trajectories.
Yes, yes.
So thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and sharing with us, and I wish you just great things and being able to impact lives and change our current situation, bring those numbers down.
Yes. Thank you, Tamara and Hadi. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I want to thank you for joining us again on Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. Here on the Link Local Network, we will be back next Wednesday as we are live every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Central Time. And you can follow us on Twitter at TamaraLeeLLC.com, at Heidi Feimster, and at Link Local Net. And Jerome, are you still on? You're on Twitter also,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
At Jerome Elam?
Oh, my Twitter is at Jerome Elam, yes.
Okay. All right, and that's JeromeElam, correct?
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, exactly
okay.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So find us all on Twitter. We'll move the conversation over there. And we will see you back next week on Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. Bye-bye. Thank you.